gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop, coming to you live from NBC Sports Radio 920 AM, and also live on Facebook if you're near a computer at Jonathan Scott LV. Joining us after a 9-month visit through Europe, our good friend and Cubs fan, actor Adrian Zemed.
Yeah. Good to be back. It was actually the UK, 9 months in the UK. I did 31 cities in 9 months.
Wow.
And what, tell us what you were doing.
I was doing the first national tour of La Cage aux Folles, and huge critical success, and it's, we're waiting. I'd still be there right now if there was a theater available in the West End. It's going to the West End. They're just waiting for
the
holidays to be finished and then theater to open up sometime, maybe February or March.
So from theater right back to sports.
Theater right back. You know what the first thing I did was when I actually got back? I went to a Cubs game. It was the very first thing. I flew
in.
Went
to Chicago?
Cubs game. I took my brother to a Cubs game in Chicago, and then I came here.
And how did they win?
Yes, they did.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, they lost 3 in a row to Milwaukee.
And also joining us, Mike,
tightens up the race.
My co-host for the last almost 7 years, Jeffrey with the G, Jeffrey Kramer.
Johnny, good to be here, buddy. It's an exciting time to be a sports fan.
Yep, and also joining us, our additional sports analyst, Amal Shah.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. One of the worst weekends in the history of the NFL, but hopefully tonight, Monday night, will be better.
That's what you were saying. You say you were tortured.
It was a bad weekend.
The officiating was unbelievably bad.
Well, it's always. I've just come to expect it to be horrible in terms of the officiating, but the games, the play.
The quality
the
of
the play. Yeah. It was the worst I have ever seen.
I agree.
Bar none in 30 years.
It was really boring watching football.
I fell asleep last night watching the Cowboys and Giants game. By the fourth quarter, I was cutting wood.
Well, think of this, right? We had Jacksonville going to Houston. How many points did Houston score at home?
7.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm in the mic. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
They scored 7. The Giants scored 3. Cincinnati got shut out at home.
Right. But Houston would not even score those 7. They had 4 penalties on that drive by Jacksonville that sustained that drive, kept it alive. There was actually an interception on the drive, and it was overturned because there was a penalty. They got a gift on 3rd and 20. I mean, it was unbelievable. I have not seen football that bad.
Do you think it could be the lack of their commitment to preseason now?
Adrian, that's a great question. It was funny. We had a gentleman.
They're not ready.
No, that's exactly what I said. We had we had Andre Ware on the show yesterday, and we were talking about that. And he said it's a combination of the lack of practices because the new collective bargaining agreement has limited the number of practices. And I'm with you, though. I thought because guys are not playing in the preseason, I thought instead of taking week 3 as the game to get ready the first half, so you're basically sitting for another 2 weeks, I thought maybe you play the first half in week 4, and then you get ready to go. And that's what my feeling was because it just seemed like all these quarterbacks were completely off.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get way too deep into it, we want to welcome our sponsors, thank our sponsors, Windows Plus, the most trusted door and window company in Las Vegas, located at Alibaba off of Valley View and Tropicana. And we're inviting you to join us tonight for the first Monday Night Football game and our live broadcast and pregame party at Monday Night Football at Sapphires Las Vegas on Sammy Davis Jr. Drive. Great food, open bar from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. for only $20 and $40 for VIP. That's at Sapphires Las Vegas. We're all going to be there so hanging out, so stop by, say hello. Open bar and free food, and it is the best Monday night party in Las Vegas. So we want to invite you to do that. Tickets are still available for the Composer Showcase. Adrian, you've gone to that before, I think.
Probably, yeah.
Keith Thompson Show. All original music this Wednesday at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. And Michelle Johnson's Tapestry Tribute to Carole King is this Friday coming up. And again, tune in on Friday when we do our live podcast. So that's it for the announcements. And I don't know what else to say about the weekend's game. It was tedious at best. You know, I stopped by the Westgate. and it was packed. I mean, the sports book was packed, the showroom was packed. So, you know, fans are out there, and everybody wants is expecting a great season, no matter who they're cheering for.
In this town, there's basically four big events annually. You have obviously New Year's Eve, you have the Super Bowl weekend, the first weekend of March Madness, and the kickoff of the NFL. This is the busiest weekend from a betting standpoint for the NFL. It's always packed. People love coming out here. They get so excited for the NFL to get back. I mean, I know so many times I'm talking to people in July and August, they're like, oh, only 40 days to go, only 25 days to go until the NFL kicks off. They can't wait.
You had a nice week in fantasy, Mr. Zamed.
Yeah, I think I did okay. I did okay.
Are there any games that you guys do want to highlight? I mean, you know, the Patriots game was kind of a disappointment on Thursday. Yeah.
From whose perspective?
Exactly.
I thought it was great.
Me too. I mean, I didn't expect...
Jeffrey, bet on the Chiefs.
I had the Chiefs. I mean, that to me was an easy bet. I know my team. Bill Belichick will often call week one of the season his fifth preseason game. He's got a lot of new pieces. He just lost Edelman 2 weeks earlier. They lost one of their return guys. He's simply just playing with new bodies, moving them around. I'm not worried about Bill and Tom. By week three, you're going to see Hogan and Dwayne Allen and Brandon Cooks and Gillislee and James White and all these, and obviously Gronk and all these other weapons, Amendola. They're going to be fine. I'm not worried. Trust me.
Look good, huh?
In Bill, we trust.
Hey, listen, you can't complain with that. They've won 5 Super Bowls in 15 years. It's as good as it gets. It's one game. There's 15 to go. They'll be fine.
Before we get into Monday night and football, you guys want to talk a little bit about baseball since Adrian's wearing his Cubs shirt here?
There's
a lot of baseball to talk about.
Okay, first of all, go ahead. Start with the Indians.
You want to talk with Judge?
Forget Judge. We got to start with the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, Judge hit a couple more home runs yesterday. He's, I think, 42 for the season.
And 41?
I think 42.
Stanton's at 41 right now?
Stanton's
at 54.
41, 42.
I've been gone for 9 months. But,
you could have had a baby.
But here we are in the second week of September. There's only a handful of games left. I believe less than 20. We have the Dodgers in a dire spiral, yes, losing 10 in a row. I cleaned up with the Rockies this weekend.
It was a great job by you because, simply put, the Dodgers are overvalued right now. They've lost 15 out of 16 games. But you have to talk about the Cleveland Indians, the hottest team since 2002. They're an absolute fire. They've won 18 games in a row now,
Yes, it is. 18. That's true. They're too shy of the record.
That's right, because I remember I said to myself, 12.5. I said, think about that. They have literally won more than 10% of the games they're going to play over the course of a season consecutively.
They've gone from 13 games over 500 to 31 games over 500 and have just distanced themselves from everybody in the American League, including Boston and Houston.
And the Nationals have clinched.
The Nationals did clinch yesterday. Right. And the other thing is, to Jeffrey's point, the Indians just took over first place in the American League for home field advantage. That's huge. But since we have two Cubs fans in the house, I want to mention this real quick.
Yes.
I have the Nationals as my pick to go to the World Series. But don't sleep on the Cubbies. They're quietly getting ready to make it to the postseason. Why are you shaking your head? I'd like to know, sir.
I haven't seen Jeffrey shaking his head. I see it. Watching the Cubbies in the second half, and I'm waiting for this team to sort of get on one of those 12-3, 15-5 rolls. They cannot put together a consecutive period of games where their pitching and hitting is clicking together.
Up until this weekend, I actually thought that they were putting it all together. They've had a really good record since the All-Star break.
They have.
But up until this weekend, I thought they were going to put it away. I thought this was it, that they were going to put the nail in the coffin and actually to really get a hold of it. But now it's a whole different ballgame, in my opinion.
I still think if they sneak into the postseason, watch out. This team's got experience. They were there last year.
True.
And the reality is
they are a dangerous postseason team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because look, when you get in the playoffs, anything can happen, 100%. And as we all know. And to me, the fact that last year they had to go to 7 games against Cleveland, and I mean, they could have easily lost just as easily as they won, I think that helps them as you move forward this year.
Yeah, here's an interesting stat I want to show you. You and I follow gambling trends, lines a lot. When is the last time you saw a baseball game minus 420?
It's been a while. It's been a while. Cleveland against Detroit today.
Cleveland tonight with Carrasco against Detroit is minus 420. You have to take Detroit just for a goof.
Yeah, you have to. It's just you can't bet Cleveland. You're out of your mind.
Put $50 on it. You'll win 210. Like, it's just a joke. But by the way, let's not forget that. Yes, while the Cubs did win the World Series last year, Cleveland was also in that World Series up 3-1 and went to Game 7.
They're hungry. They want to show that they belong. Listen, they belong there, and I think they want to be there this year.
Terry Francona is one of my favorite managers out there. He does it as well as anyone in the game. They're talented from top to bottom. They have a great pitching rotation. They're fun to watch, and defensively, they're very good.
To do with that. He was the Boston coach too, right?
I'm talking about his body of work as a coach over his career. Yeah, of course. He did a great job in Boston. He won 2 rings in Boston.
No, but I'll tell you, I got to give him credit for one thing. I think baseball is a different dynamic in terms of managing guys compared to other sports. In football, it's about coaching them based on X's and O's. In baseball, you're with these guys for so long, and you're traveling together for 6 months of the year. To be able to really manage these personalities takes an incredible leadership skill set. And I think Terry Francona is as good as it gets across any sport.
I got to tell you, man, the Dodgers are just blowing me away with this loss, with this losing streak, because to me, this team has been the best team in baseball all year. And it's funny because this losing streak started when Kershaw came back.
It did, but you know, the problem is I always said the whole year I thought Alex Wood, Brandon McCarthy, and a lot of their pitchers were pitching above their ability.
Correct.
And now they've regressed to the norm. They're just not that talented, with the exception of Kershaw. They've got great young hitters, but I don't think their pitching is elite. You look at the Cubs last year. John Lester, to me, is a guy who's had an elite career. John Lackey's had a very good career. They've had guys that have been through the wars. And the Dodgers do not have that, with the exception of Kershaw. You have a young team. And my concern, if you're a Dodger fan, is how do they right this ship?
That's what I'm saying. Who's stepping up to right the ship?
Yeah, I don't know.
And
who's
we also
do it.
Know that Kershaw has not been great in the postseason.
That's exactly right. That's another concern you have if you're a Dodger fan. And look, the Washington Nationals are only 4 games back of the Dodgers. I know there's only 19 games to play, but they could still catch them for the postseason.
I think Cleveland's right behind them for the best record in baseball. They're only 4 or 5 games behind.
You're right. I completely forgot about that. You're absolutely right.
This 18-game winning streak has put them. So now let me ask you a question. Because the All-Star game didn't predicate where who had home field, how does that go now with the best record?
Goes with the best record, yes.
Why and then didn't that happen this year?
They took
Remember,
it away.
I was in the UK, and they don't do baseball in the UK.
Hey, listen, the Premier League is off to a great start this year. But, they decided to do away with it in the All-Star game simply because people realized that, hey, you know, if you're going to have who's going to have home field in Game 7, let's let the teams who earn it on the field instead of just having one game determine who has home field.
I like that the All-Star game kind of had
I thought it was terrible.
Why?
Because the All-Star game requires a player from every team, which shouldn't be there. There are guys you're going to tell me the Indians who win 18 in a row win 95 games, and all of a sudden you're going to decide because some guy played in a game in the middle of July who shouldn't have been in the All-Star game cost me home field advantage?
Robbie Cano?
I'm just making the point.
What was it? Extra innings, right? Robbie Cano in extra innings this year?
Yes.
In a non-related story.
By the way, for our tennis fans out there, I hope Clint's listening because he's a big tennis fan. How about this kid?
Sloane Stephens,
who happens to be the daughter of former Patriots running back John Stephens.
Former first-round pick out of Northwestern State.
It always comes back to a Boston team for him, you know?
But Adrian, just real quick though, you have to realize though, since post 1986 to 2001, when they stole that one Super Bowl they got into because that was a fumble, should have never been overturned. That's another story.
Are we talking about the tuck rule?
Yes, we are.
One of the greatest games ever.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Only about 7 people think that. They all live in New England.
Our lead story comes from Philadelphia.
He's very
this week,
bitter. Very bitter.
Where thousands of nude cyclists pedaled through the city streets. And they're off. The bicyclists and their clothes. Thousands of nude cyclists set off on a trek around Philly on Saturday for the annual Philly Naked Bike Ride. About 3,000 riders in various stages of undress pedaled a 10-mile course, taking in sights including Independence Hall and the Philadelphia Museum of Art, where Sylvester Stallone sprinted up the steps while training as Rocky. Participants in the ride can go as bare as they dare. Olivia Neely, who is topless, was riding for the first time, inspired by the recent end of a romantic relationship. Quote, I just broke up with my boyfriend and wanted to have a sense of freedom, end quote. She said, I did it for me. Not for anyone else. And that's what this show is all about. We're doing it for ourselves and not for anyone else. We're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Cutest for me.
Summer days drifting away.
last part.
Shout out to the summer loving for our guest Adrian Zemed, returning after 9 months in the UK, starring in La Cage aux Folles.
Yes, I am back. I love Olivia's voice. I can understand
this. What are you saying,
La Cage aux Folles?
La Cage aux Folles.
The cage of crazies.
Fall.
Yeah. Olivia's doing better. Olivia, you and John fans out there. No, she's gotten a relapse.
Oh.
She's gotten a relapse, but she's doing much better. She's been, she stopped at the, she was at where? At the Flamingo, she's doing better.
That's good. Yeah. ONJ, Olivia Newton-John. All right, so we talk about tonight's game a little bit. You guys want to get into that? We've got, what I like was
tonight's
the propositional.
Tonight's games.
Because there's two. The New Orleans Saints against the Minnesota Vikings with a 4:10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then the Los Angeles Chargers against the Denver Broncos at 7:20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And again, we're going to be over at Sapphires on Industrial or Sammy Davis Way, Sammy Davis Jr. Way, whichever you prefer to call it, or Dean Martin or whatever it is over there. I think it's Sammy Davis Jr. Way at Sapphires. $20 to get in, an open bar, bunch of food, and of course, babes. So we're going to be over at Sapphire. Yes.
I don't drink, but $20 in open bar, that's pretty darn good.
Oh, it's the best Monday night party.
I'm going to be killing some serious water over there.
You're going to be knocking back the sushi.
I went with Jonathan last year to opening Monday Night Football at Sapphire's with Jonathan, and it was out of control.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's got to be 500 people. Place is great. MCs are giving away prizes. The girls are doing their thing. The games are on. It's really a lot of fun.
I don't know if they're doing it this year, but last year there was dollar lap dances at halftime.
Well, hey now.
So bring your dollar bills and come on down to Sapphire's, where it's backed up at the spaghetti bowl. Yes.
I've got a roll of quarters. Do they take those?
Only the 2-bit ones.
That would be a place in Tijuana.
Tijuana. Tijuana. So let's take a look at some of these propositional bets, because I think they're kind of fun. First score of the game, and I usually see these at the playoff games, touchdown -160 or any other score -140. Total gross passing yards by Drew Brees.
Any other score is 296 and a half.
It's a lot of yards, right?
But not for Drew Brees.
So I mean that's.
I mean, granted, don't get me wrong. Minnesota should have a very good defense this year.
I agree, but what you and Adrian both said, this is Drew Brees. He's going to put up yardage. I mean, this is a team.
He puts up 300 yards like nobody's business.
No, that here's the problem, okay? If the Saints are down 10 points and there's about 2.5 minutes to go and they got to go on about an 80-yard drive, I'm extremely confident he's going to pick up about 80 yards on that drive passing.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He's 2 years removed from having Jimmy Graham. He lost Brandon Cooks in the trade this season as well, which was a big target of his throughout the year. They have this new kid, Michael Thomas.
From the Ohio State University, yes. Superstar.
Do you want to talk about the Ohio State University?
No, listen,
we can.
They got shellacked on Saturday.
I made a killing in Oklahoma this weekend, too.
How are they going to use Adrian Peterson? That's my big question.
It's a great question. I'm not really sure, but I tell you what, I have a feeling this is a game he's going to come out and play hard.
He said he's going to.
There's no question.
Well, if you're going to play, that's the way to do it.
There's a little bit of a revenge factor here. He was Minnesota's franchise player for a long time. He carried that franchise. Now he's got something to prove, and that's why this game is opening between the Saints at Minnesota. I can't wait to see him run.
The Bears would not have done that to Walter Payton.
That is true.
Speaking of the Bears, can we get to the last minute of that game?
Oh, my God.
My goodness gracious. Come on.
Hey, at least we've got Tyreek Cohen, now.
I love Tyreek Cohen, my brother.
At least it's going to be exciting watching him and waiting for Trubisky to finally take over.
That's what the fans want.
Yeah, but Glennon played well yesterday. The problem was there was a drop pass on second down and goal. And there was a drop on second down and goal, and then they had a couple opportunities. You get first and goal at the 6-yard line. I mean, that's all you can ask for is an underdog, 30 seconds to go. You have to win that game. You just can't lose that. I mean, but knowing John Fox, I'm glad he just didn't send out the field goal team on fourth down, down by 6.
Yeah, really.
like last year?
We'll get it back. Last minute to go.
Now, while there was a lot of bad football this weekend, there was also some pretty good football. I got to tell you, I like Carson Wentz, what I saw out of him yesterday with the Eagles.
Well, let's not put his bust in Canton just yet. He was playing the Washington Redskins. I could have probably thrown for 150 yards.
Division rival on the road, week one. He looked like a much better version than last year's Carson Wentz.
You're absolutely right. Look, you expect to see incredible progression between year one and year two, but I want to revisit something Adrian said off the air. He talked about the officiating, and I wonder if all three of you guys have seen the replay call in the Redskins-Eagles finish when Cousins went to throw the ball.
Yeah, that was a forward pass.
That was a forward pass.
That was a forward pass.
I would like to know, because here's the thing. I said on the air yesterday, we were watching the game in the studio, and I said, look, maybe I didn't see the angles, and they're all literally ready to kill me.
Yeah, but then you saw the replay.
They're like, Amal, no, it was clear as day. It was a forward pass. Here's my question. How do you blow a call as important as that one? That makes no sense to me. We have replay.
With replay.
Yeah, you know, Dean Blandino, Mike Pereira in the booth, they're saying the same thing. I mean, to me, it was clear as day. There are other Absolutely. Ones I could argue. This one, there was nothing to argue.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How about Jacksonville yesterday?
Boy, that
Where'd
defense,
they come from?
That defense was unbelievable.
But their defense is really good, but I'll tell you what. I said to Andre Ware, I said, hey, can you I know you're in your 40s, but since you're going to be—he does play-by-play for the Houston Texans. I said, since you're going to be in Cincinnati on Thursday, any chance you can suit up so I don't have to watch Tom Savage or Deshaun Watson again?
By the way, I like Deshaun Watson.
Listen, he's a great college player, but look, just because you're a great collegian doesn't mean you're going to be a great NFL player. I've always said all along he's not going to be that good. Why? To me, he's Vince Young. He's not an accurate passer.
Who made that one catch behind his back?
That was Cole Beasley for the Cowboys.
That was an amazing catch.
It was. Yeah. It was, absolutely.
You know, I just also just to get back to the Bears game, that this poor wide receiver, Kevin White, number one pick
seventh
overall, breaks his leg in preseason, his first season, breaks his leg in preseason the second year, and now breaks his collarbone in his first game. He's out for the season. He has not played football his entire career so far.
His future's not that bright. He won't need shades.
Well, I just hope he's been fiscally wise with the money he got, because you're right. Unfortunately,
he probably will not play again.
Yeah, you're right. The Bears
he's like glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have guys. I remember Robert Smith was a great running back for the Minnesota Vikings, but just never could stay healthy. And one of my lines about being great is being healthy and being available.
Exactly.
And
it's in line with what you're saying. If you're a great college player, you're not necessarily going to be a great pro player. And
absolutely.
All of a sudden, you're maybe being hit a lot harder in the NFL than you ever have been in college.
A lot harder.
Faster. That's a great example. I always sit there. I love football, but I always say, gosh, you got to really be gutsy to go play that game, because it's a car accident on every play.
Oh, God. When I was
literally
hanging out with the 85 Super Bowl Bears, I was on the sideline for a lot of those games. I could not believe the sound and the energy of the impact on some of these
and
things.
And that was 30 years ago. These guys are bigger, stronger, faster
it was like
now.
Two trucks coming in a head-on collision. That was unbelievable.
You know, I'm glad Adrian has had the opportunity to do that, because one of the things I always tell people, the one thing I want to do in my career at some point is I want to take my dad to a game on the sidelines, because I said to him, you don't even understand what it's like until you've watched the game from the sidelines and you're standing 12, 15 feet away. My question is, and Adrian, you know this, I don't even understand how these guys get up after a hit. One hit. I mean, you got a guy taking his helmet right in the back, and these guys get up like they got hit by a cotton ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nothing. They just get up and keep moving.
Their bodies are made of scar tissue. That's why. I'm serious. It's like they've been beaten so many times and hit so many times. It just builds up and builds up to
something
that's like steel.
Hard hitting and injuries. We were just talking off air. Number one fantasy pick across the board, David Johnson, running back for Arizona Cardinals, is going to be out for probably 6 to 8 weeks.
I was going to say, because they're looking at putting him on injured reserve. And if they put him on injured reserve, he's out for the year.
He has to have surgery on his wrist. And guess who had the number one pick in our league, Adrian?
I'm so sorry, Jeffrey. I really feel
The two-time defending champ.
I hope you got McFadden.
So has the line moved for tonight? Because it was Vikings were -3.5.
They're 3 now.
Yeah, and it moved down to 3, and the over and under at 48 stayed the same.
Both games are both 3 right now.
Both 3. I got it at 3.5. I took the points on both games.
Well, then you're ahead of everyone else at the hook.
Yeah, you got good numbers. I think those are the right plays in this particular matchup. To me, whenever you're giving
like the Saints?
Well, you're giving Drew Brees points in a dome. I know it's not a home game, but still, look, this is a guy that can throw the ball all over the yard. I'm just not. Sam Bradford is the best. I remember Brent Musburger and I were talking about this. Sam Bradford is the best passer I've ever seen in college. And to me, he has not translated in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was the best college passer I've ever seen. He was unbelievably accurate. And you talked about the strength. He gets killed out there. He's a small guy. He's about 6'4", 215. I mean, that's not small by normal standards. But in the NFL,
it's not even small by quarterback standards, though.
Well, usually a lot of these guys like Brady are 225, 230. They can withstand.
Bulkier.
Yeah, a little bit bulkier. They can withstand the punishment a little bit better. And Bradford's a statue in the pocket. He doesn't have the ability to move within the pocket, and that's what hurts him.
I'll tell you, man, I was watching that Packers-Seattle game. Watching Aaron Rodgers, his footwork in the pocket is just outrageous.
Oh, and
he's
also that call that he made, like they were in the middle of a huddle, and suddenly he saw a change of the defense. He immediately said something quick, and they all went to the line.
I know.
Seattle was still in their huddle.
They didn't know what was
huddle.
Going on, I know.
That's a great example of the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. That's a great example of how great.
There's only a handful of guys that do that, like a Brady, a Manning, maybe
exactly
an Elway.
Exactly.
I'll take the Vikings tonight, -3 at home. I think
really
they know. Yeah, I like their defense. Their quarterback is back. No,
yeah, Bradford's there. Teddy Bridgewater's still out.
Yeah, Bridgewater, you said, is going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, we're talking about injuries with Kevin White with the Bears, David Johnson of the Cardinals. This is a tough game, and the sad thing is, you know, as soon as you're out, forgotten about pretty quickly. It's next man up, ready to go.
Edelman's already gone.
Absolutely.
Over or under 48 points?
I'll go under.
Yeah, I would have to lean.
I took under.
Yeah, I would have to
I'm
going to
go under. I just think that there's, Amal referenced this before. There's this revenge factor here. Don't think for half a second that the Vikings defense isn't going to be king in on Adrian Peterson all night.
They will. They will. But I'll tell you what. Adrian Peterson, he runs like one of my favorite catchphrases. Like a grown man.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets
downhill and hard.
He runs like a grown man.
No, I know what you mean. Downhill and hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And I got to tell you, in the second game, I like the Chargers. I like Phillip Rivers.
I took the points.
The Broncos have a very good defense.
But that defense still.
Is it Simeon?
I sat Phillip Rivers because he was going against the Denver Broncos.
That's not a bad move, but I just don't like the Denver offense.
Who did you start?
Carson Palmer.
Oh, I thought. Oh, hey, listen. Hey, I thought you were going to say Andy Dalton. I'm glad you didn't say Andy Dalton. That's all I'm glad.
Hey, yeah. Listen, man. Even with Carson Palmer, you still won.
Yeah, I know. I was fine. He turned out okay, but. We'll see what happens. I'm riding Philip Rivers the rest of the way.
You're taking Philip and the Chargers?
I like the Chargers tonight, yeah.
Me too.
The line was better. It opened at around 4.5.
Yeah.
It's come down all the way to 3 because a lot of people are betting against Denver.
We have a lot of Chargers fans here that move the line.
Who's throwing for Denver right now?
It's going to be
Simeon.
This is Trevor Siemian. He's a young man out of your guy's neck of the woods from Evanston, Illinois. Yeah, played at Northwestern. Yeah.
And didn't he play for the Vikings for a while?
No, he's been with Denver. He's just not just not a big-time guy, but look, that defense you talked about, both you mentioned, they still have the opportunity to kind of set Denver up in some good field position. It's always a good game when you've got a division game. I'm looking forward to this game. It can't be any worse than the games we've seen thus far this week.
They're probably going to lean a lot on the running game.
Well, I was just about to say, I like Melvin Gordon in the Chargers, in the backfield. C.J. Anderson, he has his moments, but he doesn't thrill me as a number one back. Who? Denver?
Yeah.
Don't Jamal they? Charles?
Yeah, don't they?
I don't know.
If they do,
what is he going to do?
No. He might surprise some people.
He might trip on the 10-yard line and break a leg.
If it's not Jamal Charles, it's somebody like Jamal Charles.
We're going to break it down a little bit more. We're going to take another commercial break. Remember to join us tonight over at Sapphire Starting. We're going to get there a little early, 3:30, right after this show. But doors open at 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock, $20 to get in, open bar, tons of food. Big screen TVs. It's a great party. So join us over at Sapphire as we take another commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio. Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Monday Night Football starts tonight, and we invite you to join us over at Sapphire on Sammy Davis Jr. Way, formerly known as Industrial, formerly known as Dean Martin Drive, and one of the Rat Pack streets. I don't know. I still call it Industrial. But Sapphire is the place to be for Monday Night Football. First kickoff, first game is at 4:10 this afternoon. $20 gets you an open bar and tons of food and dollar lap dances and lots of
fun.
You don't know that. I know.
I'm actually doing dollar lap dances.
Yes, you can get a dollar lap dance. That's Adrian Zemed,
right, yes.
Star of Stage Screen and Bachelor Party.
Teenage idol Adrian Zemed will give you $1 lap dances.
That was many birthdays ago.
Unfortunately, all my fans are 85 years old. But
you know, I have to say that the picture that I ran in our little promo shot was the when you were in TJ Hooker. And the reason I picked that one, you might be wondering,
he said, I have something to say about that,
is because today is 9/11, and I want to give a shout out to all of our first responders, police, fire, and of course military, on a day that is ceremonious for so many reasons and still sends shivers up every American's arms and legs and nose and
everything else. That it's been 16 years. It really is.
With that said, you know, I just spent 9 months in the UK. And there were some major terrorist, you know, things going on
several.
There.
A lot in Paris.
During the whole time. And it was just a very bizarre.
What was the vibe? What were you hearing there as opposed to what we were
really
getting fed here?
The really funny, it's not funny. It's the interesting thing about the way the Brits handle this is they keep that whole stiff upper lip, you know, attitude about them. Can't let them win. You know, gotta go on with
Winston
our lives
Churchill.
And this and that. Exactly. And that's kind of like the way the whole country, every time something happened, the whole country just said, well, pull together and, you know.
You know what? That's not a terrible attitude.
No, it's not. But
let's have a crumpet and fight on.
There is another thing that I kind of was kind of like, it was weird for me. If this had happened in the United States and I was doing a national tour, a Broadway show, we would have stopped at the end of the show.
Oh.
And kind of like had a moment of silence and done that. They don't. It's a part of that stiff upper lip. It didn't happen. It didn't happen kind of thing. And that's the one thing that I didn't like. I felt that we should have honored them in some ways. So that was the only weird thing about it. But it was very interesting, to be there during the whole thing.
I would imagine.
Well, there's a parade tonight at 7 o'clock on Fremont Street with some fire trucks and fire brigades. And
my wife is doing a corporate on Fremont Street tonight.
Oh, is she? Yeah. There was some guys that put together something called the Angel Fire Department, and what they do is they let terminally ill kids run on the ride on a fire truck.
Cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we're gonna have more going on about that. In fact, you know the guy, Rick Wren.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's the guy that called me over the weekend. He's the one that's doing it.
That's a great.
Yeah. So back to football. We talked about what's happening tonight. There's lots of propositional things that are going on, which I think would make it a little bit more.
Let me ask you guys a question. We talked about the Bears, but we didn't talk about the Falcons. What did you think of the Falcons yesterday? I was a little disappointed.
Well, why do you say that? To me, it's a road game. It's the first week of the season. Regardless of how the Bears performed last year, there's always optimism coming into week one for every team.
Sure.
So you're going to get a really good
effort at home.
Yeah, especially at home. Even the Bears fans know that the team's not going to the Super Bowl this year, but still, you're fired up. It's week one. I thought they played a good game on the road. Matt Ryan was 21 for 30 for 300 yards, one touchdown, no INTs. That's about as good as
it gets.
Not
much from Julio Jones.
Look, he's the guy you got to take out. He's the guy. He's the best receiver in the league. You can argue Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
But the reality is, to go on the road and get a win like that, and I know forget the point spread for a minute. You know, it was funny. We had a guy come on yesterday who bet a two-team parlay on. For those that don't know, a two-team money line parlay. That means you're just picking the team to win, not against the point spread.
No points.
He bet $31,000 on the Steelers and the Falcons to win. And so they asked me, what do you think? I said, it's a terrible play because you don't want to take teams on the road.
Both teams.
And they both
had
to sweat it out. Look, the Bears were 6 yards from winning that game.
Yeah, they had four chances out of two, didn't they?
And Cleveland gave Pittsburgh everything they could handle.
Absolutely.
They could have got a field goal.
That line went up to 10 points. I think they only won by a field goal, 21-18.
Well, here's some of the recap on it. Yeah. Matt Ryan threw an 88-yard touchdown to Austin Hooper, led two fourth-quarter scoring drives, and the Falcons held on late to beat the Bears. Bears had a first down at the Atlanta 5 in the closing minute. Mike Lennon's pass to a lunging Josh Bellamy on first down hit off the receiver's hands, and Jordan Howard then dropped a simple catch at the 1.
I didn't realize they were all the way to the 5.
Well, it was first and goal to go. I mean, they were in business.
Yeah.
After another incompletion on third down, Glennon got sacked by Brooks Reed to end the drive.
Yeah,
I know. You know, Hooper looked like Gronk on
yeah,
some of those,
they
those
were
catches.
Talking
he
about
was
him
knocking
last
people
night.
Left and right as he was running.
You're correct about that, but I'm not sure if it was necessarily him or the fact that the Bears' tackling was the worst I've ever seen.
Hooper had two catches for 128 yards. Jones added 66 yards receiving, and Bryant kicked three field goals.
They were just dropping like
they were dropping like flies. If this were the movie Major League, I would have been pink tagging their lockers on that one.
In his Chicago debut, Glennon didn't silence fans who would rather see the number two overall draft pick, Mitchell Trubisky.
You can't throw him in there right now.
Look, I hope this kid does well. He's from my high school, but reality is. The NFL is a different animal. Yeah. You've got to know these defenses. You get these coordinators against these rookie quarterbacks. They can eat them alive.
They threw Mariota and Winston into the first game. Why not him?
You're correct on that. But look, Jameis is a better athlete and a better player than Trubisky. Trubisky, to me, is not as good as the number two overall pick that he was taking. Jameis Winston was a big-time quarterback. Mariota is an extremely cerebral guy, very quick, very fleet of foot. Doesn't make mistakes, doesn't turn the football over. I just think those two guys are at a little bit of a different level in comparison. I know DeShone Kizer started in Cleveland, but in Cleveland, that's an absolute dumpster fire.
By the way, they gave Pittsburgh everything they could handle. I thought Kizer did a good job. And he was one of the players coming out of Notre Dame that everyone was down on him.
I actually thought he was going to be the best quarterback in the draft.
Wow.
I said, because I thought I didn't like Trubisky. He played 1 year at Carolina.
I like DeShone myself.
I didn't like DeShone Watson out of Clemson, and I'm not high on Pat Mahomes out of Texas Tech. I think DeShone Watson's accuracy is lacking, and I think you're going to see that over time. I think he's going to be another Vince Young.
How many number one Cleveland picks at quarterback have they had in the past few years?
Well, I can tell you off the top of my head, since they've come back to Cleveland in 99, they had Tim Couch, bust. Brady Quinn, bust. Brandon Whedon, bust. DeShone Kizer's a second-round pick. So they've had some opportunities there. Guys haven't panned out. Look, I thought
what
Couch
about
was going to be great.
The little guy, Johnny Football?
I forgot about him. No, thank you for bringing that Johnny one up. Manziel. I forgot about Johnny Manziel.
He's in Canada?
They deported him. He was that bad.
He's playing in the CFL?
I didn't know he was playing or not. But you know what, Adrian, I'm glad you brought him up. The thing was, I didn't think they were going to take him that high. You could tell right away he was a guy who was not going to translate to the NFL. He was too small.
Terrible. Everybody except Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody except Cleveland was like, what? And from my understanding, what I've been told in that front office, it was the owner's decision. It was not the scouting department's decision. I think most people know he was
That's
not going to be a pro.
That's why you have scouts.
Yeah. driving home last night, picking up my wife from Harrah's, and I was listening to a fan talk. I mean, rant about the Indianapolis Colts. He was ranting about them, like saying, you get a guy like Andrew Luck and you've done nothing his entire career to protect him.
You haven't given him weapons. More tools. You haven't given him an offensive
protection
line.
Protection and all that kind of stuff. Sorry. I had to adamantly pound my statement.
For radio.
I wanted to make sure that people knew that I was
pounding my fist. You're absolutely right. I actually was on an Indianapolis radio show about a month ago, and we were talking about that. And I said, look, the Colts are going to blow Andrew Luck's career. Because what's going to happen is they have not surrounded him with good talent. Their draft picks have been bust, and they have not built the offensive line. You're going to get him killed. This Colts team, well, I saw it there in Los Angeles yesterday, is one of the worst teams I have ever seen. Scott Tolzien should have a picture in the newspaper for a wanted sign, because this guy is straight stealing money. I'm surprised the DA is not going to prosecute him tomorrow in Indianapolis. This guy is absolutely committing theft. He's terrible. He's not an NFL quarterback.
So maybe Colin Kaepernick should be behind.
There's no question, but the bottom line is, here's the thing. Even if you bring in Kaepernick, this team is not going to, even with Luck, they're not going to win more than 8 games. If you bring in Kaepernick, you probably win 6 games. They're better off just having a high pick, because I don't think Luck's going to come back before later in the season if he does at all. And so to me, this is a team that needs to hit on their draft picks. They keep missing. And what Adrian said is correct, Jeffrey, they're missing too much on their draft picks. They're not building an offensive line.
Terrible. And even on offense, they don't have that many weapons.
Yeah. Nope.
And we're going to take our last commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop. Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop on a Monday, starting Monday Night Football, the first Monday for the NFL season, and we're going to be celebrating over at Sapphire's on Industrial. First kickoff's at 10 after 4. And then the next
game. So are you live the whole time or what?
No, we're going to do the pregame until kickoff. We're going to be live until kickoff, and then we'll do halftime.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then we'll be eating, drinking, and getting lap dances.
Good.
Like everybody
else. Some of us will be watching the game.
Possibly watching the game. We talked about that. Anything else about tonight's games you want to move on to next week?
Hopefully they can't be any worse than what we saw Sunday and Sunday night. That's all.
The Texans disappointed me. That's the Thursday night game coming up this week. It's going to be the Texans against the Bengals.
That ought to be fun.
That ought to be another snoozer, huh?
This is why the NFL needs to do away with the Thursday night game. It's too quick of a turnaround. They just played Sunday.
Cincinnati did lay a goose egg yesterday against Baltimore,
I think they'll play much better, yeah.
And they're 3.5-point favorites against Houston.
Not one score.
Well, you know, both teams combined to put up 7 points this weekend, so it should be an offensive juggernaut. Yeah.
And if you threw in the Giants, they would combine for a total of 10.
Do we take the under at 38.5?
No, then they'll probably come out and score 52 in the first half.
I know. That's usually the way it goes. Anyway, that's the Thursday night game on NFL Network. We have a phone call?
Yeah, Trump party.
Okay, let's say, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I'm so excited to be calling in for you guys. It's going to help your ratings tremendously, I have to tell you.
Well, Mr. President, it's always good to hear from you. Did you get to watch any football yesterday? I know you're busy.
Well, I'm not that busy. I love football. I watched every game that I could. And you notice I barely tweeted yesterday. I was so enthralled by so many of the tremendous football games that were going on. What about the Redskins and the Eagles? Was that something else?
Yeah, it was something else, all right. I don't know what it was, but it was something else.
What a mess. What a mess. Two horrible teams being horrible together.
Is that your favorite team? Do you root for the Redskins?
Well, now I do because I live there, you know. And of course, there's a place in my heart for any New York team as long as they're winning.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to call us in about football. Are you going to have a chance to watch the Monday night games tonight?
Yes, if Congress does their job, I'll be able to take some free time. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go down there and knock some heads because they're taking way too long. 7 years. 7 years I've been hearing about repeal and replace. They haven't done anything. So I have my own plan. I want to pitch it to you first. What do you think?
I'm thinking the Saints and and the under and the Chargers and the over.
I like that. That's great. You should do this professionally.
Yeah, I thought of that myself. Did you have a chance to see your friend Steve Bannon on 60 Minutes last night?
No, I did not. I don't like 60 Minutes. It's fake news. And Charlie Rose is 800 years old.
Charlie Rose doesn't look like he gets any sleep, does he?
No, that guy stopped sleeping sometime in the mid-70s. Working. Don't you think this guy's got enough money? I don't get it. Why doesn't 60 Minutes get some new people? That show is so boring, it took me 2 hours to watch it.
It took you 120 minutes to watch 60 Minutes.
Absolutely. I was not happy with Steve Bannon's interview, which I did not see, by the way, because I don't watch that show.
He actually was a fan of yours, which was surprising to hear him be pro-Trump.
Well, you know what? He may be pro-me because I'm tremendous. I'm the greatest president in the history of presidents, other than honest Abe Lincoln, who I just found out was a Republican. But I have to tell you, him saying that me firing Comey was the single biggest mistake in modern political history, I didn't appreciate that.
Well, I wish you were in Las Vegas and were able to join us at Sapphire tonight, at least for a lap dance, so we know how much you would enjoy that.
Right, of course.
Well, we know you're busy on the trade floor, so we just want to appreciate you. Thanks for taking a minute out of your day, Mr. President.
My pleasure. And your show is the greatest show in the history of shows, other than my show, which is a reality show. But this is different because yours is a radio show. So there's no conflict of interest.
Hashtag fake president. Thank you very much. Mr. President. We'll let you get back to running the country. Thank you. Of course, that was our friend. Bobby just has to hit that every time. He's like, that's Bobby's political view, not to be confused with those of Vegas Nonstop. All right, do you guys want to pick any games for next week? You want to isolate any? And Jeffrey, give us some picks for next Sunday.
I'll tell you, I never thought I would have said this second week of the season, but I'm looking forward to that Tennessee-Jacksonville game.
That's an important game for Tennessee. You don't want to get off to an 0-2 start. This is a team that should be able to compete for a playoff spot. Texans are offensively challenged. Jacksonville is offensively challenged in that division, so there's some opportunity there if you are the Tennessee Titans.
There might be some value in taking Jacksonville at home here.
That's definitely a possibility. Yeah, absolutely a possibility. I just think Tennessee, because they're coming off a loss, they're going to bounce back here. They need this game. You know how hard it is to make the playoffs if you go 0-2. The odds are very much against you.
Correct. I'll tell you the other game I love is I want to see how New England bounces back in New Orleans and Drew Brees.
You know, the one thing is I think the Patriots will be fine. They bounce back. They have one major advantage. The Saints are playing tonight on Monday night.
Short week.
And then the Patriots played on Thursday. So they've got almost four
additional days versus six.
Yeah, exactly. So,
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, and so you have two different teams in that sense. But New Orleans is always tough to play in the dome. And if the Patriots defense played anything like they did last weekend, Drew Brees will pick that team apart.
What defense?
Yeah, you're right.
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. New England on the road here, -4.5. I don't see any value there at all.
What about Panthers and Bills?
What about it?
Panthers are -7.5.
That's a tough number. I mean, Carolina didn't look good. I know they shut out the 49ers, or they didn't shut them out, but they shut them down. But I tell you what, Kyle Shanahan proved to be a real knucklehead as a head coach for the 49ers. Some of the decisions he made was terrible.
Well, again, thanks for everybody for being here. I want to thank Adrian Zemed for joining us back on the road after 9 months.
Yeah, back
go
in,
Cubs,
back
go.
Vegas, yes.
We're going to take it all the way.
We're going to make it to the playoffs, and I think you're right. We're peaking at the right time.
I'm Al Shaw. Thank you for joining us, buddy.
Thank you.
Jeffrey with a G.
Yes, sir.
Texting during the show, but he gets us an important message. And I want to thank John DiDomenico for calling in. He's our fake president. Eat well, party hard. Again, we're going to be at Sapphire. Stop by, say hello, buy us a drink, say hello. And join us on Friday for our podcast. Actually, we're going to go live at 3:30. Eat well, party hard, my friends. Jonathan Scott, peace.
She was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, because there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Oh.